News Radio KMAN. Good morning. It is now 7:03 and time to talk about what's happening in the area. Let's get our COVID-19 update with the Recovery Task Force and one of its members, Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital CEO. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Dave.
Appreciate you joining us this morning. And this morning, Brandon and I were talking in the newscast about some of the numbers that we are seeing. Got to be encouraged by, you know, fewer positive cases, that percent positive right down to 2.6, which it hasn't been that low for...
I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A very, very long time.
Got to be. That's got to be encouraging.
Very encouraging. I think the one thing we would like to see is actually more people getting tested. Our testing volume in the county has really dropped dramatically, too, and we really depend upon that to give us that good data. So that certainly would encourage people to go out to – actually, they moved the site this week to a different site for the testing, but would encourage people to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about those testings and what's the process right now. If we're going to send somebody out and, you know, it's not bitterly cold like it was a couple of days ago, it's still cold, but where do folks go?
So the saliva testing has been moved to the county's alternate care site. So that is, I'm blanking on the name of the old hotel. So it's off Tuttle Creek Boulevard, just to the south of Vista.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was in a cottage lodge. It was the original Holiday Inn in Manhattan.
Yeah, years and years ago.
Years ago, yeah.
Yep. I remember staying there as a coming up for state FFA judging.
Aha! Uh-huh.
When I was a kid. So anyway, it's a saliva-based test. That part hasn't changed. They've got it set up for a drive-thru. And so, again, it's still very simple to do. And there's covering there because there's a portico share on the front of the building. So, again, just encourage people to do that. That's a great way for us to get a feel for what is spreading. The state is also now doing kind of some randomized testing for variants. And so we also just need people to keep getting tested so that we can, you know, try to get a handle on the quantity or the spread of some of the COVID variants in our state.
Okay. Well, and, you know, and I think probably every... From what I understand, just about every county is, you know, totally reliant on the state's distribution patterns. And did you see a little bit of a, and I think somebody called it a speed bump. I think it was Dr. Norman that said it was kind of a speed bump in getting vaccines delivered because of the brutal cold temperatures that we had the other day.
So the impact this week, I don't know that we're having an impact this week just because the vaccines were actually delivered at the end of last week. The problem this week has been actual delivery at certain parts across the state where it has obviously been cold, but there's still, you know, people are pushing forward. I know that we have multiple vaccine clinics this week in Riley County. There is a large vaccine clinic today, I think around 400 people in Pottawatomie County. And so, you know, people are trying to kind of work around the weather and adjust. And actually, it's kind of funny. I was walking in this morning, and it's like, it's only 10 degrees. I don't even need to put my gloves on, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, yesterday I stepped out.
A different perspective.
About 20 degrees yesterday afternoon. I'm like going, wow, I'm unzipping everything.
Yeah.
Well, not everything.
And put on your short sleeve shirts again.
Yeah, it was balmy.
And, you know, but I think with that, though, Dave, we are seeing a lot. You know, the counties are really kind of getting into what I would refer to as a cadence, where they've got clinics scheduled, they're delivering multi-hundred doses in a day, and that is really what we want to see. That's a very positive thing, but that's also how you really start to then reach into the population and get more and more people vaccinated. And any vaccine that's not delivered this week, they're just going to be adding time and slots into next week. So everything's still going to be given in a fairly timely fashion. And so people, I wouldn't necessarily worry about a day or two. I think we will, you know, by this time next week, they will have caught up again. So I think that we're on a good path. We just got to stay the course and keep that pace going, because I think that's also important.
Yeah. Have you seen any complications for those that are awaiting their second dose of the coronavirus vaccine?
So, you know, even with some of our own staff, they actually became positive between their first and second doses. And so that happens. That's certainly true. But in our case, what that did, you really don't want to give somebody their second vaccine if they've been positive COVID within, you know, Some people are saying 2 weeks. I think other folks have said you need to stretch that out a month or two. So we've had some delays on a couple folks getting their second doses. But for the most part, that has not been a huge issue. I mean, we really are talking one or two people out of, and we've given now, I think, 800 first doses. So just here at the hospital. And so it's a very small number of people. And things, again, it's just a matter of trying to keep people on that schedule as best you can. And I think people are actually pretty aware that they need both doses. And then you actually need 12 to 14 days after the second dose to really get the protection from the vaccine.
With all the precautions that we're taking with masks and, you know, washing our hands more often and using sanitizer and stuff, I understand that you've seen very few cases of the flu that have been problematic over the years.
This is actually from a respiratory viral year. It's actually pretty amazing. One of our primary care physicians had shared, we had a board meeting last night, one of our local primary care physicians just shared that the number of kids ill this year is way, way, way down. They're hardly seeing any flu in the primary care clinics. We have yet to admit anyone to the hospital this year with flu. That is just completely off the charts weird.
How many would you typically have admitted with a flu to the hospital?
Dozens by now. I mean, we're in the mid-February. We typically are starting to admit people with flu-related illness. Usually a sprinkling by the end of October, and then it kind of picks up in November, really starts hitting December, January, and they have zero. Our national health system, Ascension, actually I heard a report yesterday across, you know, we have 150 some hospitals across the country. There's only been 300 flu admissions this year.
Goodness.
Across 150 hospitals. So it really, again, I think it kind of begs the question of what we should be doing next fall, and we'll deal with that when we get to the fall.
If there is a silver lining, that's likely it.
It has really worked to reduce the spread of respiratory viruses. There's no question. And the question, so how do you kind of modify that and get that same benefit for the next 10 years? And maybe not have to be exactly where we are right now, but is there a version of what we're doing right now that would actually really, really have an impact like that? And, that's part of keeping everybody in school. If we can keep our kids healthy and we can keep the teachers healthy, then everybody can keep going to school next year, too. So there's actually, I think, a lot to learn from this. And definitely that is a huge, huge silver lining for us this year.
We're speaking this morning with Ascension Via Christi President and CEO Bob Koppel. Bob, I understand that, the number of folks that you have that are currently patients at the hospital is at, in the single digit, but you did have a fatality, I understand, overnight.
Yeah, so we have three positives again today, and we did have a death yesterday. And I guess, a couple of things are just maybe different the last couple of weeks, Dave. Our hospitalized patients have tended to be younger. The person who passed was in their 60s, but we actually have folks who've been on ventilators in their 30s and 40s. And so that's a shift from January, where we had a lot of 70, 80, 90-year-old patients. That was, kind of our peak when we were hitting the really 20-plus numbers of positive COVID patients. So it's been a very good thing. We're down in low single digits, which is great. Of the acuity, though, I think yesterday when we had four positives, three of them were in the ICU, and one was up on the floor. Today, two of them are in the ICU, and one is up on the floor. But the acuity is certainly higher, and the age cadre is actually younger. So that's just kind of interesting thing. Again, that's to us things that we're going to certainly be watching around.
Do you have an idea of what you would attribute that drop in the average age to be?
Well, so if you go back to January, the biggest cadre of folks who were testing positive were in the 35 to 45 year age, and so that's where the spread was primarily. After the holidays, it was not younger people, it was more starting to get into the middle-aged people, so that would then, that's where you're going to see, like everything else, what we know is the number of positives, a certain percentage of those are going to get hospitalized, and so if that's the population that's positive, that's the population we're going to end up hospitalizing a couple weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else would you like to add this morning? There's a lot of positives, but, we still are not by any means out of the woods here locally or anywhere across the nation or even the world as far as that goes.
Well, I think there are a lot of positives. I think it's very, very encouraging. One, quite honestly, we all need that a little positive bump. But, again, it's so important. I know some of our local business owners, actually, this part of our conversation at the Recovery Task Force is, we can't give up the ground that we've won. So we still want people to be very diligent about their masking, their hand hygiene, and, you know, working on social distancing. Because we know it works. We know it helps get down the positivity rate. We just have to kind of stay the course. And while we're doing that, get, you know, more and more people vaccinated. We're already over 10% of the Riley County population vaccinated. At this pace, we're going to fairly quickly be at 20% of the population of Riley County vaccinated. And we just have to just, you know, keep doing that. And it really is a matter of weeks and months. This is not a, should not be a year-long endeavor. If we stay the course, by late spring, we're actually, I think, going to be in very, very good shape.
Well, one of the things that we just want to encourage folks to do is, you know, if they want to get in line for that, for the vaccine, they need to go to the Riley County website, RileyCountyKS.gov, click on coronavirus, and there's a form that you need to fill out, and they have something similar in Pottawatomie County as well. So those mechanisms are in place. Bob, thanks for joining us. I suppose we'll talk with you again next week.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President and CEO, joining us here on KMAN this morning.